wonder what the disciples must have been expecting that day when they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. I find that to be an intriguing request. After all, the disciples have been with Jesus all this time. You'd think they'd know how to pray, if nothing else, because God has been modeling that. Or Jesus has been modeling that for them all along. Well, it seems that this has nothing to do with any revolutionary technique about how to pray, but more indeed about what the nature of prayer is. And really, a question that they have been trying to find out, and that I think Jesus was answering them, is teach us how to love and trust the Father the way you do, that our prayer lives would increase with fullness and honesty. Some of us have some really deep prayer lives, and I have found that on my better days, praying to God is more a matter of thinking of my best trusted friend, the person I'm trying to figure out. Is this one on?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This one's on, not the other one. Praying to my trusted friend, whoever that is, think of an image of a parent or your coach or whoever it is, that person that you really do feel, someone that you maybe admire, but that you're close to, I'd say intimate to, rather than a God that's far off and far away. That's the kind of prayer that I think Jesus was telling his disciples. Because the kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about is one when we are in relationship with God. Being in relationship with God is the most important thing. It's what I glean from the scriptures. Teach us to trust God. Teach us to love God. Teach us to show up for prayer. Some of you may think that's some nice formula, and thankfully, in this chapter in Luke, and also in Matthew and other places, Jesus does give a short formula for prayer. And, you know, I could give you a great theological expose, but most of you have been to confirmation class, or you've heard it several times. And we will pray together that prayer later on, the one we call the Lord's Prayer. Some groups call it the Our Father. The first step is praying to God as if he were that trusted friend. Give us today those things that we really need, just for today. Just for today, Jesus would say, because let tomorrow worry about itself. If we ask God for what we need today, then tomorrow will take care of itself. Just like in the wilderness with the Israelites. The manna showed up every day. It may not have been the best tasting stuff, but it's what we needed today. Forgive us our sins. We ask for that every week. That's one of my deepest prayers. Forgive me my sins, because I have many. I start off one morning with good intentions, and the next thing I know, and I found myself making fun of one of my neighbors the next minute. And I'm thinking, God, how did that happen? Aren't you part of my life? Haven't I learned anything from you? Forgive me my sin, and oh, by the way, lead me not into temptation. How many temptations do we have all around us? If nothing else, that temptation to when someone says something nasty or irritating to us, to come back with that barb or that insult or that terrible thought. Part of my daily bread that I need is prayer for civility. Not just for myself, but for us as a community, for us as a nation. Because I think if we are civil to one another, then the rest will take its place. Oftentimes what you hope for from a preacher, I suppose, is an intimate example or a testimonial with regard to prayer. And so I'm going to share a bit of one with you as far as how we approach prayer, how to pray. Some of you know, if you've been here for the last 4 or 5 years, that I had an accident. I guess it was about 4 years ago. I got hit by a truck that was backing up, and it ran over my legs and crushed some ribs. Had a few crushed ribs, and my spine was in pretty bad shape. And there was no, once we figured out that I was going to live through this, the next most important thing for me was to get rid of the pain. And it was excruciating. I'm not going to hide that from you. I was very, very uncomfortable. And all I could think of in terms of praying, quite often as I showed up without words to pray, was, you know, just really remembering that there was nothing that I was going through, nothing that I was feeling, that our Lord Jesus hasn't felt before. For there have been times when I've been struggling and I think, well, I have a fraction of an idea of what that is that Jesus felt when he was on the cross, when he was suffering. And I thought, yeah, this is getting even closer, I do believe, because waiting for my medicine or just waiting for whatever to calm down, just, it even hurt to breathe. I tried to switch from one side to the other, and I couldn't do that without pain. And so my prayer finally became just a simple, dear God, help me get through this pain. If you're going to make me live, if you're going to keep me alive, just help me endure what I'm going through. Help me figure out how to get through it. And that's, some days that was all I could say. Thanks to nurses and friends and medicine and therapy and a lot of other things and prayer, I did get through that time. I did make it through the pain. But I feel certain that it was knowing that God was so close to me, a God that would do for me would go through that kind of pain for me and for all creation, just to let me know how much I was loved. That's where I found the intimacy of God's presence, among other times. One of my favorite quotes is from a popular preacher and author, Barbara Brown Taylor. She's writing about being very close to her granddaughter. And her granddaughter has often wished that her parents would get back together. Her parents are divorced, and you know, at one point, grandma and grandpa and young Madeline's mother were sitting together at a table, and there's that empty chair, and Madeline says, yeah, I wish you and Daddy would get back together. And her mother says, well, that's never going to happen. And Madeline goes, yeah, right. So why do I keep wishing for that? Why do I keep asking? Well, Barbara Brown Taylor thinks about that, and she says, you know, one day my granddaughter is going to ask me about what prayer is really all like. Does prayer really work? And when she asks me that, I'm going to say, sweetie, of course it does. Prayer keeps our hearts chasing after God's heart. It's how we bother God. It's how God bothers us back. And there's nothing that works any better than that. I hope you'll keep praying. I hope you keep sharing the prayer with your friends and your neighbors. You know, I think of one other quote that I heard a few years ago, and this is a little bit of a scolding quote, but many people are concerned. This was from a woman, and I don't remember her position, but she was on the ELCA staff out of Chicago. And she was bemoaning the fact, as many others do, about, gee, we're all concerned and worried that there's no prayer in schools anymore. That they've taken prayer out of school. And I would just note as an aside that any of you students out there that have ever had to take an exam or a standardized test and gone in and felt overwhelmed and unprepared, don't tell me you've never prayed in school. Maybe nobody else heard it, but I've done that. Help me get through this test. And oh yes, God, help me pass it. But her point was, don't ask me about whether there's prayer in school. My question to you is there prayer still in the home? Jesus modeled prayer for his disciples, and I hope that you as family members and parents and grandparents and even sisters and brothers and just friends, whatever your family is made up of, I hope you're praying at home. Because that's where you need God, right? At home as well as we gather together in community. I've had a lot of experience praying. I can't be presumptuous enough to think I'm any expert in prayer. But what I've learned in my prayer life is that the most important thing really is not showing
Bishop.
Up.
Hi.
Being mindful of God's presence. Setting aside time for prayer. Or just opening my eyes to the prayer that's happening right in our presence, in the middle of a movie. And this beautiful hymn, I'd never heard this before. Thinking of God as not only as the sculptor of the mountains, but singing praises to God, the nuisance to the Pharaoh. So I enjoyed that. Just imagining who God is and what God is in your life. Getting rid of distractions sometimes just so we can not only say the words and call upon God, but taking time to listen as well. It's part of great communications, isn't it? You've been with those people that talk and talk and talk, 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 and you think, when am I going to get my chance? Or rather than saying, when am I going to get my chance, maybe it's just being able to listen. And maybe it's encouraging that, thinking of that one person who's always talking and thinking, well, what if they just listen for a minute? My greatest wish for me, at least, is developing that discipline where all of life is a prayer. I'm not there yet, but I keep working on it. And it's a delightful journey. So today, I pray that your lifelong journey, your journey of faith, is one that will be rich, full of the Holy Spirit, filled with prayer and a closeness to the one who loves you more than any of us can ever imagine. The one who would go to the cross for us to let us know that we are so loved. Amen.